Welcome back. We have Shelley again on the line, and we're going to cover some advanced techniques. So in the main part of the module, you got an overview of the basic 10, we call them baby steps, to succeed at earning free travel. Now we're going to go a little deeper. Once you have most of these steps handled, or at least the main ones, then you're ready to move in the advanced techniques. So, Shelley, welcome back.
Hi, Frederick. Good to be back.
I think it would be great to do a little recap of the main ideas we covered in the first presentation. What do you think?
Sure. Let's give the big picture of why we're doing this, why we're collecting miles and points, why we're excited about this. It comes back to, if you ask anybody just to tell us one place they've never been, a dream vacation, a destination that they would love to see, something that's on their bucket list, everybody has at least one dream vacation in mind. And then if you ask somebody, why haven't you taken that dream vacation? Why haven't you been to Paris or Rome or Greece or China? The number one reason seems to be the cost. So everything that we're talking about here are their shortcuts to those dream vacations. They're shortcuts that save you time and that save you money. And if you put traveling together with saving time and money, it really is a winning combo. The two things that seem to be the most expensive when you talk about traveling are transportation and lodging. And so most of what we're talking about here is how you can save money with transportation, how you can save money with your lodging. We also want to remember that it's about goals and travel awards that matter to you. So it's about rewarding yourself. It's your dream. It's your ability and the possibilities of using all these strategies so that you can travel in a style that you want, go to the places that you want to see. Easily 1 to 2 trips a year, free travel, from earning these miles and points for things that we already do. And that's also one of the big ideas here. One of the big ideas is that things that we already do, we're leaving miles and points on the table. So that's a lot of what we've been talking about and what we've been covering, so that whether you see traveling and collecting miles and points as a game or a hobby, some people even consider it their sport of choice, it's very exciting, but it can also be overwhelming. I think the more you learn, the easier it is to do. So once you get through some of the learning curves and you start to understand some of the techniques and the things we're talking about here, it becomes much easier to do. So it feels more on the exciting end of the spectrum and less on the overwhelming end of the spectrum. And I think it's also important to take what works for you from all these strategies. We've laid out an enormous amount of information here, but it's about taking what works for you from all these strategies, letting the system be your guide, and having a lot of fun with it.
That makes total sense. I mean, Shelley, I considered myself kind of new to this, and I'm really excited about it because this is something, like you said, transportation, which is mainly flights, and hotels are the most expensive parts of a vacation. And I think I had no idea that you could go that far with getting, you know, free trips, free flights or discounted flights, and free hotels. So I think a lot of people might listen to this course and be thinking to themselves, you know, this sounds complicated, or I don't think I can spend that much money. But that's why we have the advanced techniques, because there's more to it than just, you know, switching all your spending to a credit card. Once you master it a little bit at a time, I think you'll definitely realize that you're advancing much faster than you thought.
Yes, I think that's true. And I'm glad you're excited, Frederick, because I'm actually going to put you on the hot seat for a second here. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I think it would be a fun thing to do. I want to ask you, since you're still obviously working the system and working with these techniques, what did you do last week to get miles and points? So I'd like you to share that with our listeners, and then I'll share one that I did last week. So Frederick didn't know I was going to ask him this question, so we're putting him on the hot seat a little bit. But tell us about something.
I like that.
Tell us about
what did I do last week? That's a very good question. Well, first of all, I spent, and one thing we'll talk about in this module, in this section of the advanced techniques is using business cards. So because I have a business, I managed to switch a lot of spending that I used to put on PayPal, for example, to pay certain vendors. And I didn't realize, you know, how much that amounted to over time. So I switched all of that spending to credit cards over the last few months. And then, so last week there was still a few things that I hadn't switched yet, and I asked the companies and it was no problem. So that will earn me like thousands of miles every year just because of that. But another thing that I did is I got a promotion from Aeroplan, and the idea was if you transfer miles from another program like SPG into Aeroplan's, they would give you extra miles. So what I realized is that, well, I get SPG points faster than any other points, so they're not as important to me. So I transferred 20,000 points. Now, by transferring 20,000 points, SPG gives me 5,000 extra points. And then with the promotion, I got an extra 4,000 points. So essentially, I gained 9,000 points from that transaction. So these are kind of two things that I did last week to get some miles.
Those are great and absolutely a part of the advanced techniques that we're talking about right now. And as you can tell, Frederick's pretty excited about all this and learning the ins and outs of it. I did something a little more simple than that. In the first part of this system, we were talking about paying attention to promotions. And I'm a big fan of American Express cards, and I have the American Express Gold card. And I received a promotion where if I went into a Bose store, and Bose are all over North America, so I think most people will know them. They're the company that sells sound systems and those noise-reducing headphones that everybody loves. And with American Express, I was able to get 2,500 points if I went into Bose and I listened to a promo for one of their new products. So I have a Bose store near me. I went in, it was put into a beautiful theater and listened to one of their promos for their new products. It took me 6 minutes, and it was actually quite fun to listen to. And then for doing that, I got 2,500 American Express points. So that was the promotion that I liked the best last week that came my way. So that's my example.
That's great. That's great. I wish I had that promotion here in Canada, but I didn't see it. But you said you seem excited, Fred, about this, and I want to tell everybody how excited I am about this because I'm about to reach, in the next couple months, 135,000 Aeroplan points. And that's very exciting to me because at that level, I can go anywhere in the world in first class from any city in Canada. I could go to India. I mean, I could go to Tahiti. I could go to New Zealand. All of these flights would be incredibly expensive from here, because it doesn't matter where you start in Canada. That's the thing. You know, obviously, if I started from Vancouver, I would pay less if I purchased my flight. But with points, it doesn't matter. So I could start from, from Montreal, which is a lot farther, and go all the way to New Zealand in first class. And I'm about to get all the points I need for that. So I'm very excited about, the progress that I've made doing this.
That's great. And using yourself, you're a very, very good example of somebody who has set goals and understands the amount of award miles that it's going to take to reach those goals. And we talked about that in step number two, the first part of the system. And that's why we put that step so early in the learning process here, because the setting of goals, knowing where you want to go or how many miles it's going to take to get a first-class award ticket, depending on the program that you align yourself with, that's all very, very important. And when you do it early, it really, really keeps you going, and it keeps you motivated, and it keeps you looking for those emails with those great promotions, like the one I did for the Bose sound system and American Express points. So you're a great, great, great example, Frederick, of somebody who sets goals, knows the award miles, knows where he's going, and that's the fun. That's where the fun kicks in.
Thank you. Well, let's get started in the advanced techniques. I'm sure everybody is looking forward to that. So what is the first advanced technique, Shelley?
first one is learning how to meet the multiple spends should you apply for more than one credit card at a time.
What is that, and how do we do that?
Sure. So let's say we're doing an application cycle, and we've applied for a Chase card and an American Express card. So we've got approval, and the cards come in the mail, and we have the minimum spend on each of those cards, just like we discussed. What I feel is a very smart way to do this is that you – so let's say you have two cards, and one has a $5,000 spend, and one has a $1,000 spend that you have to meet. I think it's easier to start with the smallest spending requirement first. So you want to get that one done first. You want to direct your spending onto that card so that one gets done first, because there are always going to be different amounts. If there's a tie, so let's say you get a Chase card and American Express card at the same time, and they both have a $1,000 spend that you need to meet, I generally will start with the American Express card first, because American Express, as we all know, isn't accepted everywhere. So it's a bit harder to use. And with the spends being equal, I'll clear the spend on the American Express card first. The card with the longest period to meet is the one I'll meet the spend last. So in other words, let's say you have two cards and one has a $1,000 spend in 3 months and one has a $1,000 spend in 4 months. Obviously, if I've got a longer period of time, it's going to be a little bit easier to meet that spend, so I'll use the card with the longest spend last. And one other little trick that's really an easy thing to do is the last card that you're going to clear on your spend, you can have all your recurring bills put on that one. So that would be your cell phone, your internet cable, all the things that you pay every month. If you put those on the last card that you're going to clear, by the time you clear that, you'll actually have some spend already happening on that. Another point is that you don't want to spend past the bonus clearance. So let's say I have to spend $1,000 to meet a spend and get the points on a certain card. Once I've met that $1,000, then I'm done with that card, because then I want to go meet the spend on another card. And one other thing is that lots of times there's bonuses. We've discussed credit cards that have bonuses. So let's say a grocery store, you're going to get twice as many points. You want to use those cards for those bonuses if you can along the way. But again, the idea is to meet the minimum spend in a very, very organized way, so you don't apply for credit cards but not get the points that you want to get. I know that's a lot of information.
I know. Well, it makes sense once people understand that they're applying to certain credit cards and there's a minimum spend for a lot of these offers. But again, maybe someone might, the first step might be to just apply for one credit card that has reward points and then just focus on that until you get, because we're presenting the entire system, but you know, if you're just getting started, you can listen to this program again and again. And in 2 months, you're going to want to take more steps to make things happen. But initially, if you can just use one, let's say a Visa card that has a good reward program, and use that everywhere, and maybe add an annex later, and then use that in more places and so on, and then you get more bonuses and so on.
Yes, absolutely. If you've never done this before, practice over time will get you, much more fluent in understanding the language of miles and points. So it's a different language. Like you said in the beginning, it's a very different paradigm, and it's learning the language of what does minimum spend mean, what does clearing spend mean, and it's always a good idea to start with one card and understand how you can direct your spending to meet the minimum spend, and then over time be able to do that with multiple cards at once. Absolutely.
Okay, let's move on to step number two, advanced technique number two. What is it, Shelley?
It's understanding credit card cancellations, why to do them, and a little bit about how to do them as well. So when you get credit cards, they come with an annual fee. Sometimes the annual fees are free. They're complimentary for the first year. But there are some cards that don't have annual fees. But they're pretty rare. And at some point, your annual fee is going to become due. There are some credit cards, Frederick, as you know, that you keep long-term, and so you're going to want to pay those annual fees year after year. But there are some cards that we apply for that really we're applying for them solely to earn the bonus miles or points. And we're not going to be using them for everyday spending. And so these are the cards that come with an annual fee that have been waived that we need to decide whether or not we're canceling the cards. And so this, again, is a very personal decision, but I wanted to give some general guidelines here. So we've gotten the card. First year annual fee is waived. We've done the earning to unlock the bonus, and we put that card away because we're not using it for our everyday spend. Now, let me say one other thing here, and you touched on this a little bit earlier. It's very important to keep track of all this information, whether you do it on an Excel spreadsheet or you do it on your computer. I'm an old-fashioned girl, and I use pen and paper for a lot of this stuff, and you want to keep track of when you get the card, when you unlock the bonuses, when the annual fees are due, and so you really need to keep track of all this stuff. So let's say you've got a card with an annual fee that's coming up in a few months and you already recognize that you don't want to keep the card. It's often a good idea to call the credit card company, whether that's American Express or Chase, and all the credit card companies handle this differently. You might want to tell them you're thinking about canceling the card because the annual fee is too much. Sometimes they will offer you what's called a retention bonus. Again, the credit card companies don't make money unless you keep their cards and use their cards. So they often have the ability, whoever you call and you speak to, whatever representative is on the line, they often have the authority to offer you what's called a retention bonus. It might be in the form of points. It might be in the form of miles. They might waive the fee for the following year. And as a general rule, call 3, 4, 5 months ahead of when your card is going to come due for the annual fee. See what they offer. If they don't offer anything, then you have that information. If they offer a retention bonus, you can then make the decision. Sometimes you get a retention bonus, and it's ahead of the time when the card is going to cancel. So let's say they offer you a retention bonus, and it's 3 or 4 months ahead of time. You can still go ahead and cancel the card if you want. So it's just understanding that cards do come with annual fees. You want to keep track of when the annual fees are due. And sometimes you can do a negotiation before you cancel the card and get a little bit more of a bonus called a retention bonus.
And I think, Shelley, it probably goes without saying that we should also keep track of when these things are due, maybe in a calendar. You know, you mentioned Excel sheets, but I'm worrying that some people will not check their sheet or will forget, you know, oh, my God, there's, you know, the renewal fee of the one card that didn't want to keep is coming up and now it's being charged. But in case that happens, that happened to me once. And I just called American Express and I said, you know what, I don't want to keep that card. And they actually refunded me the fee, so they were really nice about it. But that's probably because I got another card. So, make sure you write it down in your calendar or, you know, have some kind of alarm system to remind you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell Frederick is very high-tech, and I tend to be very low-tech. So, absolutely, if you have any way of keeping track, just the way you would keep track of a lot of other information, absolutely plug it into your calendar. That's a great idea, Frederick. Thanks for bringing that up.
What is the third advanced technique, Shelley?
How to use dining programs to increase your miles.
I'm really curious about that one because that's something I don't use myself.
I have to say that using dining programs, I think, is the easiest, simplest technique out there. It's amazing how many people don't use this one. So all the dining programs can be used to earn miles. And how it works is that there's one company, and we'll provide a link for everybody, and it's a rewards network. So it manages all the dining programs that are affiliated with a different airline. So we're not talking about anything other than airlines here. So it doesn't matter what airline you're loyal to. The rewards network manages them all. And the easiest way, I think, to go about doing this is just when you sign up for rewards network, and again, we'll provide the link, the easiest way is after you sign up, just pick one airline whose frequent flyer miles you prefer. Doesn't matter. I'm not telling you the airline to pick. It can be any airline. But just pick one. And then put all of your credit cards in your account for that one airline. When you sign up for the account, we'll ask you to put your credit cards in. So instead of putting one credit card in, just put all your credit cards in. Then you'll be able to see all the restaurants in your area, and receive emails too. Plenty new restaurants join the frequent dining programs all the time, and so you'll be able to look up all the restaurants in your area, and you'll also get new restaurant listings. And so maybe you're going to go to a restaurant, you know, because it's on in your dining program, and maybe it's a restaurant you already frequent. When I tell people about this, they're shocked when they go in and they look at the restaurants, how many restaurants they regularly go to that they haven't used this program for, and so they're leaving miles and points on the table. And what, so maybe you'll choose a restaurant because it's in that program, or maybe it's a restaurant you already frequent. As long as you pay using a credit card, you're going to get miles. It doesn't matter which credit card you pull out. If all of your credit cards are listed in the Rewards Network program, you're going to get miles. And what's funny about this is that not only do the miles go for your frequent program, but when you go out to dinner with a lot of people and you see them paying cash, all of a sudden you're going to want to pay for the whole bill, and you're just going to want to take their cash. So
I do all the time.
Yes, I really do think this is not something that's going to get you hundreds of thousands of points in a year, but it's about lots of these techniques, just getting them on autopilot so they happen, and you look in your account and you go, wow, I ate at this restaurant. I didn't even remember it was part of the program. So
I have a feeling, Shelley, this might be U.S. only, but we can check that later for poor Canadian listeners.
Yeah, no, I didn't check that out. That could very well be the case. But, you know, Reward Network, there might be another type of dining program in Canada, because certainly there are a lot of Canadians who are using credit cards, and certainly there are a lot of restaurants who would want to get in on this. And, again, it's great for the restaurants. It stimulates business for the restaurants. So that's why so many of these programs exist. We're supposed to use them, and they exist to get our loyalty.
So I'll check that out for our Canadian fans, and we'll put that in the cheat sheets if that's the case. So
okay.
Is that everything for this step, Shelley?
Yes, yes.
So, again, people can look in. We have a reference sheet for every module, a detailed one, and also a simple one. So just refer that to that if you want to get the details and all the links you need for every step. What is the next step we're going to cover, Shelley?
It's how to use online shopping to earn miles, and also understanding how to check for earn awards miles on each of the airline websites.
Now, I got to tell you something about this step, Shelley, is that you're going to want to cry when I tell you all the spending over the years that I had without using this technique. So I'm not going to tell you how much stuff I bought on Amazon.com and how much stuff I bought on, you know, all these other websites and didn't use this technique.
That's a very, I mean, that's true for all of us, Frederick. I can, I'm older than you. I've been wasting opportunities longer than you have when it comes to collecting miles and points. And this is, again, this is one of those things that we all do. I don't know anyone who doesn't shop online. I mean, maybe it's occasionally, but it's, whether it's buying an airline ticket or buying, like you said, Amazon, or buying gift cards for friends and family members during the holidays, everybody does some shopping online. And it's one of those places where once you understand the system and how to do it, you never leave miles and points on the table again. So a lot of these that we're going through now are picking up the miles and points for things that we already do that we've been leaving on the table. This one also, we're going to talk about a couple of tricks here. This one is, again, a very, very simple thing to do once you get in the mindset. So it's about changing the paradigm and changing your mindset. Because every airline, and many of the general rewards programs that we've talked about, so American Express, Chase, Citicard, they all have online shopping portals. And by portal, I mean just a way that you enter their shopping sites. So, you know, if you go to Amazon.com, that's called a portal, and you go in through their portal to shop. And using shopping portals affiliated with the airlines or affiliated with the general rewards programs, I think is one of the easiest ways to accumulate miles.
So essentially what we're going to do is make sure before we spend anything on the internet to see if there's a portal or a way that in addition to the points we're going to accumulate through the credit cards, that we could accumulate other points through these portals, right?
Yes, and one of the tricks that I learned a few years ago that I really love is, and again, we'll provide all the links, there's a site called EV Reward. evreward.com. And this is a shopping portal, but it's not affiliated with any product or any airline. You go in there, and you search by brand or you search by airline partner, and you will see who's offering the most miles per dollar. So, for instance, if you go to evreward, and I did this before we got on the phone this morning, and I decided I would go to evreward, and I just put in a search for Target. So I pretended I was going to shop for something at Target. And it showed me, you get a lot of information, but it showed me, for instance, that Visa is offering a $5 off with a $50 purchase. That was one of my options. But it also showed me that American Airlines was offering 3 points per dollar spent. So sometimes you get a rebate offering, like the Visa offering, and sometimes you'll get an offer connected with an airline. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'm going to shop at Target. A little bit of research shows me that American Airlines is offering 3 points per dollar. So I decided to use that American Airlines deal, and I clicked on that choice. So my first portal was evreward. I see the airline, American Airlines, is offering me 3 points per dollar spent. I click on that, and that will take you to the online shopping mall for American Airlines, and that's where you start your Target shopping. So evreward is a general portal that will let you know all the deals that are out there for the shopping that you're going to do anyway. And then you can decide which deal, which points, which miles you want to pick up on. And when you click through there, it takes you to the online shopping mall that you were going to use anyway, but now you verified that that's actually the best deal out there. And that's where you start your shopping from. That's pretty exciting, Frederick.
Yes, I think so, because I can think of, you know, the many times that I, for example, purchased a computer for my business at the Apple store. Now, for example, with Aeroplan, they have a similar portal, and if you buy through their portal, you get 1 point per dollar spent on the Apple store. That's in addition, you know, to the points you would get from your credit card. So, I mean, all these years I've been buying stuff at Apple without, you know, without realizing I could have earned points in the process as well.
Sure. And if you have an affiliation, like let's say you're just trying to earn United points or you're just trying to earn American points, you might just go to their online shopping portal immediately. But I always like to back up one step and check with evreward, because it doesn't cost anything to check. It's a free, you haven't signed up for anything. And it's very interesting sometimes just to go on and see all the different deals. Again, you can also search for a particular item. So when people look at the website, they'll see you can search just a general store like Target. You can go for a particular item like you were just talking about. If it's a computer that you're looking for. And so it's very important to just back up one step and use evreward. That way you know that you're getting the best rebate for you. Again, it all comes down to what you're looking for. So it's either going to be the best rebate for you. Sometimes you might take a rebate, or it's going to be the best miles per dollar spent. And those are the two general categories. Another great miles earning opportunity that exists within each airline is called Earn Awards Miles. And that's with each airline. So, for instance, if you go to United and you go to their website, which is united.com, and if you look under the Miles Plus tab, so Mileage Plus is their frequent flyer account, and if you look under that tab, you'll see a link for something called Earn Award Miles. And if you click on that, you'll see there are many, many partners that hook up with United to offer you miles, and there are many, many, many companies that are participating in the United Miles program. So I also like to use this and know each airline that I participate with, each airline I'm looking to accumulate miles on. I always go and I check where I can earn award miles partnering with them. So it might be your auto insurance might partner with them. It might be where you do banking in the stores that you shop at. And so, again, it's just under getting a little more information so that you're the most conscientious shopper you can be, so that, again, it's raining miles and points if you just know where to look. So using evreward and looking at the airlines and using their links for earning award miles will absolutely fast-track your earnings of miles.
And this is not just for online shopping, Shelley. For example, you know, you mentioned the affiliated partners. Like in Canada, we don't have as much choice. But again, with Aeroplan, they have a few partners like that. So if you need to go to a drugstore or you need to go to a gas station, they have a few partners that you can get extra miles with. So all of these things stack up because, you know, for example, American Express will pay double points on drugstores, and then you get extra point, an extra point, you know, with Aeroplan, and sometimes they have a promotion like 3 times the points. So now you're up 5 times the points just for shopping there instead of somewhere else.
Yes, it's about being being aware of where you can maximize your points and miles. And a lot of these companies, so for instance, let's say you want to open up an investing account and you want to open it up at Fidelity, and you see that Fidelity is listed with United under their Earn Award Miles category. So you're calling up Fidelity and you're opening up your investing account or your IRA, whatever it is, and you give Fidelity your Mileage Plus number. And Fidelity will credit you whatever the deal is, whatever the promotion is, to your United account. They won't necessarily ask you, you know, if you're a United Miles person or an American Airlines person. If you offer the information, they're more than happy to take it and credit you whatever that promotion is. So you have to be a good shopper and just go for the deals that are going to work for you.
Anything else on this step, Shelley?
No, that's good. I think when people look at those websites and they start to familiarize themselves with this, it'll be very, very easy to use. It becomes very apparent once you go onto the websites.
Okay, next step is step number 5, which is about when it's a good idea to buy tickets and when it's not a good idea to buy tickets and instead using points.
Yeah, this is a very, very common question, because once you start collecting points, it makes sense, and when you start collecting points and miles, it makes sense that you're going to wonder, will I ever buy tickets? You know, do I always want to cash in and redeem miles and points? And it's up to each one of us to decide whether using miles or paying for ticket is the best choice. But I want to give some general ideas for people to think about. Paying for ticket does earn you miles. So in other words, if you put what they call your butt in the seat and you pay for the ticket, you will get miles. When you redeem awards, you don't get the miles for those tickets. So
you get the miles for flying. Like, you get actual – I mean, that's the original miles. Like, it's – you know, if from New York to San Francisco is a certain number of miles, so they're going to give you those miles. But if you redeem miles to get that ticket, you're not going to get anything.
Right. And so this often helps you reach elite status with particular airlines. So a lot of people want to earn status with a particular airlines because it gives them certain kinds of benefits. It gives them upgrade tickets and it gives them priority boarding. And so many, many frequent flyers want to earn elite status with airlines. And so paying for tickets and actually doing the flying helps you earn status. And then, you know, sometimes tickets are so inexpensive that it's not the best use for your miles. This is an individual choice, and it goes back to setting your own goals and what you want to do with redeeming your miles and your points. If you're someone who's in points for a dream vacation and you want to travel a long distance in first class, then using your miles for the shorter distance trips is not worth it. Frederick and I both tend to want to accumulate our points and miles for long-haul trips, going overseas in first class. And so if we have shorter, less expensive airline tickets, we'll purchase them. Again, everybody has to set their own limit. I tend to look at, for me, given where I live and where I travel in North America, I tend to purchase tickets that are in the $500-$600 range and less, and I'll tend to start thinking and do a little bit of an analysis on tickets that are a bit more expensive than that. Have you come up with a number for yourself, Frederick, that feels comfortable on that?
I think it's similar to yours, and it has to do with the actual deal you get when you buy tickets. So, for example, you know, I probably would never use miles just to go from Montreal to Portland, Oregon, or something like that, because there's generally a good price I can get for that flight, and I'd rather get the miles and accumulate them, and then later use my miles for something that I would probably not afford on my own, like I mentioned, for example, a trip to New Zealand in first class, not necessarily that I will do that, but it's something like that. So I think it's about, yeah, $500, $600. I mean, depending on the value, you know, if I'm getting a deal which is under the normal price that that this ticket costs, then I'm going to buy it. For example, if there's a promotion with an airline and I can go even all the way to, for example, to Southeast Asia, and it's an incredible deal, and I will also earn a lot of miles because it's a long distance, I might actually buy the ticket and just, you know, accumulate my miles for something else that would be completely out of my price range.
Sure, that makes total sense. And even though we were just talking about buying airline tickets, this concept also comes into play when you're thinking about hotel lodging. So sometimes it's a better deal to redeem some points and miles for hotel lodging, and sometimes it's better to pay cash out of pocket for those things, or not use your credit card to actually pay for the hotel room. And that's an individual travel style. And again, a price point that you feel comfortable with. So it's not just for the airlines buying tickets, but it's for using points and miles for hotel stays also. And so I had an interesting example of this last year, which is I have a niece who got married last year, and she went to Hawaii on her honeymoon. And what I wanted to do was, as part of her present for getting married, I wanted to help her with some of her hotel expenses while they were in Waikiki. And I was looking at hotels, and I was looking at my points, seeing what I could do with them. And instead of paying cash for her hotels, I decided to use some of my points for her hotels. So I used my points, and I got her 3 nights in a really nice hotel in Waikiki. And so that was a personal choice that I made. But it was really wonderful to even have the option, just to have the option to be able to give my niece and my nephew such a great honeymoon experience using my points in Hawaii. So you have to make those judgments for yourself.
I think most people who are starting out with this, as soon as they get enough points for a flight, they will redeem them. And that's the way I used to do it. It's kind of, you know, people say live paycheck to paycheck. Well, I would live, you know, 15,000 points to 15,000 points. You know, as soon as I had enough for, let's say, across the country flight, I would use them. And now I'd rather just wait and pile them up until I can use them for something more exciting.
Yes, absolutely. And there are always going to be times when you will use, if there's an emergency that comes up and the price of the tickets has skyrocketed, or you want to make a special trip, there's always a time to pay for tickets. And you will inevitably end up paying for some tickets. But you just want to start to think about where your parameters are and how you're going to look at this. And one site, of course, that comes in very handy that a lot of people know is kayak.com. So whenever you're thinking about buying your tickets and not redeeming your miles, always check kayak.com. And it's a great site for checking ticket prices. It's also a great site for tracking ticket prices to see what's happening with your ticket prices. And one of the other things that's fun with kayak.com is you can look up inexpensive destinations. So let's say you have no place special in mind, but you're thinking about taking a holiday and you have a price point. Kayak is great for just general shopping. Where is it on sale? Where can I go when that place is on sale? And Kayak has very handy features. You can set up Kayak alerts if you register for a free account. And so they'll alert you if you're looking for a certain place to go. They'll track your tickets for you. Kayak also has a fun feature called Kayak.com Explore. And this feature is for people who are sort of wanderers. And you can see what other deals people have found on your chosen destinations, or you can just explore and see where the best deals are at any given moment. So let's say you have 2 weeks off and you really didn't make a plan and you've decided you want to go somewhere. That Explore feature is a lot of fun to work with. So if you're not a familiar user of Kayak, start to use it, start to check it out, and use it as a reference point. Much like EV Rewards is for shopping online, Kayak is the first place to really start to think about looking for fares when you know you're going to be spending cash for tickets.
Anything else about the step, Shelley?
No, I think that's good.
So So step number six, I think we're still talking a little bit about paying for travel. What is step number six? We also have a step number 5A, Shelley, and what is it?
You want to be able to understand how to calculate the value so you know if cash or miles are a better deal. And there's lots of different mileage calculators online that you can use. I just want to touch on this a little bit. So, for instance, sticking with United as our example, but under that same link, under the Earn Awards Miles page that we mentioned before, if you scroll to the bottom of that page, you'll see United's mileage calculator. So I just plugged in, for instance, San Diego to Honolulu. And San Diego to Honolulu round trip, I wanted to see how many miles I would earn if I paid for the ticket. And depending on the route I choose, it's roughly 5,600 miles. Then it asks you for the cost of the ticket. So it takes into the account the cost of the ticket, and it will tell you how much you're going to get if you redeem miles and the value of your ticket if you pay cash. So many people who enjoy earning miles and redeeming them can get very, very technical with these calculations. You can really try to squeeze the absolute maximum out of each mile that you redeem or out of how much cash you're going to end up spending. And I just want people to know that there are mile calculators online that they can use. All the airlines have one. And Frederick and I certainly pay attention to the various factors, and we want good values when we pay cash, or we want good values when we redeem for awards. You'll eventually have to come up with some rules for yourself about what makes more sense, and it even varies from trip to trip. So I just wanted to mention this, that if you want to really squeeze maximum value out of your awards, you can do that, because as we've been talking about, this hobby, the collecting awards and miles, is totally, totally customizable for what matters to you. So you can get really mathematical with this and really technical and learn how to maximize this. So I wanted to point that out to people.
That's great. That's even something that I'm learning as we speak, because I didn't know that, but I guess I had a sort of a rule of thumb that if it's a good deal, I will buy it, and if it would be too expensive, I will redeem the miles. But it's good to know that there are calculators available.
Sure. And people are, you know, the more sophisticated you get with this, it's nice to come up with your own values as to what a point is worth and what a mile is worth. And so I just want people to know there are calculators, and there are people who have come before us who have put together calculators, so if people want to figure this stuff out, they can absolutely do it.
What is number six, Shelley?
Well, if you're going to pay for travel, where can you find the best prices, and what is mileage running? So I know a lot of people have heard of mileage running. So
I don't think a lot of people have heard of mileage running, Shelley.
Okay.
crazy people like us, maybe, but.
Okay. Well, I'm going to guarantee you know somebody who's mileage running. They may not be saying, I'm a mileage runner, but I'm going to tell you how to figure out who those friends are, because we all have them. So besides using kayak.com, which we've talked about, the check prices, there's Flyer Talk. And Flyer Talk is a community of travelers, and they have many, many forums. And one of the forums is their Mileage Run Deals forum. So this forum posts lots and lots of good deals that many people use. So you may find a deal for a trip that you're already thinking about taking. So it's going to be different than what's on Kayak. And so you're going to find deals for two things. You're going to find deals for trips you might already be thinking of taking. So let's say you're in San Diego and you've got to get to Atlanta for an event, and you check Kayak, and you see what's going on with Kayak and what the airlines are offering and what the routes are. It never hurts to go into Flyer Talk and see if there's any other good mileage deals that those people have come up with.
But what is a mileage run, Shelley?
Well, a mileage run means that a flyer that somebody is flying specifically to earn miles to either maintain or gain the status that they have with an airline. So once you have flyer status, whether you have a silver status or a gold status, platinum status, often from year to year, you want to maintain that status. Because, frankly, once you get used to the benefits, it's hard to go back again. So it means taking a flight that specifically is going to earn you miles or maintain a status with an airline. And often those deals are indirect routes, because what you're doing is maximizing the mileage that you traveled. And we were laughing, and I said, but you probably know somebody who has status with an airline, and here's how you know they're mileage runners. Towards the end of the year, you'll notice they're making a lot of trips. And if you ask them, they may be too embarrassed to tell you that they're flying to Los Angeles and, you know, back to L.A. and back on the same day. So let's say they live in Seattle, and you find out they're flying to L.A., or you find out they're flying to Atlanta and back on the same day. I can guarantee you what they're doing is mileage running. They're just having some fun and keeping their status and doing mileage running. I don't currently do mileage running, and I know, Frederick, you don't either, but it's something to recognize because there's a place for that, and certainly we all know people who do mileage running, but I think sometimes they're a little embarrassed to admit what they're doing, but they certainly have there's a madness to their method.
Is it worth it for them? I mean, if they're going to spend hundreds of dollars on these flights, essentially they're paying for, you know, to keep their benefits for the next year.
Yes.
So you think
it's
worth it for them?
Yes, I think that they have decided that elite status, having upgrades, having certain benefits when they book tickets, is worth it to them. And these flights are usually fairly inexpensive. So they've done their calculations, and they know exactly what they're doing. And it's very sophisticated, but it certainly belongs in the advanced techniques. And, you know, when you're, let's say status is 100,000 miles flown, and you're at 90, 95, and you just need to make one trip to maintain that status for the whole year, people will do it, absolutely. And it usually happens towards the end of the year because they recognize they haven't gotten quite enough miles under their belt to maintain status. So for them, it's worth it. It's an individual choice. It's not something I do, but it's an individual choice for people.
That would be more for frequent travelers or business people, right?
Yes, they often do it, absolutely.
I think the concept is incredible when you first told me about this, you know, mileage running. But, you know, I imagine, do people also do like an entire trip around the world just for the miles, or?
Well, you know, it depends on, in other words, it depends on how you set up your itinerary. So, again, you're loyalty is to one airline, so it would be very unlikely, unless you traveled a lot, that you would be trying to earn status with multiple airlines. So it's generally either Delta, generally either American or United. And again, people, we're going to get to this a little bit further down in our techniques, but people do tend to have an allegiance to one airline or to one alliance. And people do it. When they plan their trips, they plan their travel for the year, they do keep in mind the tickets that they're going to pay for and earning miles and will it get them status. I don't have status with any of the other airlines yet, and it's something I'm going to be working towards. And I have a feeling when I get there, I'm not going to want to go back and not have status with an airline. I know me. And once I get something and I gain that status, it's going to be interesting in the next couple of years as I start to personally go for elite status with an airline.
I just have one last question because I'm kind of interested in this topic, but I'm wondering, because some of the credit cards kind of give you the benefits of elite status. For example, there's a card here in Canada that's the Air Canada American Express Platinum card or something like that, and it's $500 a year for that card, but they give you access to the lounge and they give you priority boarding, and they give you essentially all the benefits that you would get in the elite status, but you have to pay that yearly fee. Maybe not all the benefits, maybe you don't get all the upgrades and so on, but you get a lot of these benefits. So for someone who likes to travel for pleasure, wouldn't it be more worth it to just spend the money for one of these cards, like the Platinum card from American Express, instead of, trying to travel a lot to get the elite status?
Yes, I think for pleasure travelers, that's the way to go, and that's the category that I put myself in currently. I don't do much business traveling, and so I am I'm a leisure traveler, and I do have those cards, and I get all those benefits, and they're absolutely wonderful. The next level of elite benefits comes from the mileage running, or comes from accumulating enough miles to get to the next status. And for most pleasure travelers, they're going to be exactly at the level that you just mentioned. They're going to be happy, overjoyed with the benefits that come from some of the credit cards. And if they end up traveling a little bit more in one year, or they end up traveling more for business, perhaps, than they thought they would. Or if you live in Hawaii, let's say, and all your relatives live on the mainland, you're going to be making lots of trips back and forth. And sometimes by the end of the year, if you stuck with one airline, you are much closer to getting elite status than you realize. And so come September, come October, you realize, wow, if I just make a few more trips, I'm going to get elite status the following year. And wow, all of a sudden, you really start missing all those relatives who live really far away from you. And you start making a couple of trips, and before you know it, you've got elite status. So it's keeping track of how much you fly and positioning yourself or not towards the elite status. Does that answer the question?
Oh, yeah, it does, and I just have to relate because you said that, you know, once you get used to that status, it's hard to go back, and I kind of had that experience because once I had elite status with Air Canada, because the year prior I ended up flying a lot, going to a lot of countries, and maybe there was some promotions where it doubled the miles on certain routes and so on, so I got elite status, and it was great, you know, you could take way more bags, the lounges and the fast boarding and the upgrades. And it was hard to go back the next year without it. I'm going to tell you that. It just sucked, you know. You kind of get used to being pampered for a year, and then next year it's like nothing, you know. So
yeah,
I can see why people do this.
Yeah, and the whole travel experience is not as pleasant as it used to be. Let's face it, security is a mess and very complicated and time-consuming, and having flights that are delayed and not having a lounge to go to. There's so many different possible ways that having elite status will benefit you when things go right and when things go wrong. And so changing tickets, being able to rearrange your itineraries. There's another level of benefits that come from elite status that are really helpful, not just for yourself, but for your family members. And I'm looking forward to it. In the next year or so, I'm going to go for elite status. I'm trying to figure out what airline I want to do it with. And that's just a whole other level. Right now, I'm thrilled with the benefits I get from my status using credit cards. So, yeah, it definitely is. I can already tell that about myself, is that when I get elite status, it's probably going to be a lot of fun for me, and I probably will get very used to the benefits and want to, you know, I might try with different airlines, see which I prefer, but I could tell it's a whole other level of the game for me.
Sounds good. Next step, number 7, is about SeatGuru and Great Circle Mapper. What is it?
We're going to talk about 2 fun websites. You know, we've done a lot of work. We spend and we collect. We're good shoppers and we're good. We're very aware where we dine and we've gotten all these points and we're going to reward ourselves and redeem some of these miles of points. And 2 fun websites to use are SeatGuru and Great Circle Mapper. And I'm going to explain a little bit about where they work, about what they are. People might already be familiar with these 2 websites. You know, and Frederick, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty picky about where I sit on a plane. And one of the websites that I really enjoy is SeatGuru. That's where SeatGuru comes in handy. SeatGuru lists every airline. It lists all the routes and the planes that are used on the routes. And then it gives you seat maps. So you can go in to SeatGuru. Again, you don't have to sign up for an account. This is a free website. And you can either start by picking your airline or you could just put in your information about your ticket and where you're going, and it will bring up your itinerary, not your personal itinerary, but it will bring up the general itinerary, and it will show you the plane. And it's a very fun site to look at. You learn about the pros and cons about all the different planes the airlines fly, and they have opinions as to which are the best seats on your plane, not just in economy class, but it talks about business class and first class. And I always like to do that when I travel. I just have a curious nature, and I like to look at the plane configurations, and I like to look at the seat map, and just want to look and make sure I get a good seat. Are you pretty picky about where you sit on a plane?
I'm not very picky, but I like an aisle seat, and one use of SeatGuru that I can think of is, I know, for example, if I were to pay for a first class ticket or business class ticket, I would want a pretty good seat. So I know some of the airplanes that on some of the airlines, you can lie down in them, and they're, you know, kind of the next generation of seats. So if I'm going to redeem points for a business class ticket, why would I go for a standard business class seat if I could go for a seat where I can lie down? So I would definitely use that website to at least know, understand the plane and know if it's worth it to get that, you know, particular flight.
Sure. And as the planes get more and more technology on them. So, for instance, I was on Seacrew not too long ago, and I noticed they had marked which seats in economy had Wi-Fi. Some of the airlines now are starting to put Wi-Fi on their planes, but not on all seats, and I found that very interesting. So it showed which seats, if Wi-Fi was available, you could get Wi-Fi, and I know that that's handy for people. And again, it'll talk about leg room. So if you're somebody who's very tall, you want to have a seat with more leg room. It talks about storage space under seats. And so not only, like you said, in business class, you want to get a seat that lies flat, or maybe you want a window when you're in first class. Maybe you don't. And it's just, it's a really great website to look at. It doesn't take very long to get in. It doesn't take very long to give you the information you're looking for. But I enjoy it. I guess I'm pretty picky about where I sit on a plane.
What is Great Circle Mapper?
Well, Great Circle Mapper is at gcmap.com, and it's another one of those free online tools, and it maps your flight out for you. And this is really handy if you want to know the distances that you're flying, particularly on a paid ticket. It's fun to look at in general, but particularly if you're on a paid ticket, you can research and learn how to maximize the miles. So it goes back to a previous technique that we were talking about. So if you've paid for a ticket, or before you pay for a ticket, let's say, and you go online and you're calculating your miles, how many miles you're going to get, you might find out that if you do, instead of taking a nonstop, if you do a direct flight and you make one stop, you'll get many more miles for it. So when you go on to this mapping tool, you can lay out your possible itineraries and you can see how to maximize miles. So, again, it's one of those handy websites.
We're going to have a little bonus. I just decided that. We're going to have a little bonus for everybody, for people like me that are using iPhones and or Android phones and smartphones, of all the apps that are the best for traveling. So does that sound good to you? I know, Shelley, you don't have an iPhone yet, but you will get one eventually.
Yes. I think that's a great idea, and I'm really, really glad you thought of that. Frederick is your voice of high technology, and I'm low tech, but becoming more high tech every month. So I think that's a really great idea, because all of these obviously have apps that you can use, and you can have a nice folder for all of these. It'd be really handy. That's a great idea.
Okay, so we'll add that to the download page, and let's move on to number 8. Unless there's anything else to say for number 7.
Let's move on to number 8. That's learning about the airline alliances. So we all know there are individual airlines. And one thing to be aware of is that there are 3 big alliances. One is called Star Alliance, one is SkyTeam, and the other is Oneworld. And we're going to have a separate handout, a separate PDF, separate bonus, that will tell you which airlines are in which of these alliances, so we're not going to go over that particularly right now. But there are 3 big alliances, and it's good to spend some time understanding these alliances and who they are and how they work. Many people prefer being loyal to one alliance over the other two. It's often based on where they live and where they travel. So you have to have a big picture, perhaps your plans and the kind of traveling you're already doing. It's also good for most people to pick one alliance member. So no matter what, if they're flying in that alliance, they're going to credit their frequent flyer miles to that airline. Do I need to explain that more, Frederick, you think?
Well, what I understand about alliances is that, for example, Star Alliance is you are loyal to one airline, right? You can be loyal to Air Canada or United or, Air New Zealand or whatever it is. So for me, it would be Air Canada. But if I fly and if I take a flight with another airline in this Star Alliance, then I will earn the miles for my Air Canada account. So then I can always, if I choose, if I'm in Europe and I want to fly somewhere, I might go Lufthansa because I think it's part of Star Alliance.
Yes.
And or you know, Brussels Airs or some of these other companies instead of the other companies, and then earn miles for my Air Canada account. So that's what I'm after. So I think that's and the way I was doing it before is that I would kind of split the miles across
right.
different airlines, but then I realized it's much better to concentrate on one and stick to one alliance. So every flight in that alliance builds the same mileage account.
Yes, that's, so that's a great example, and I'm going to give you one. Frederick, of course, knows which of the best airlines to credit to in Canada. In the States, Star Alliance, often people choose United Airlines. In the One World Alliance, in the States, people usually choose American Airlines. And for the SkyTeam Alliance, people choose to assign their miles with Delta for SkyTeam. So in the Star Alliance, and I know Frederick will talk about which airlines make the most sense for Canadians, but in the Star Alliance in the States, it's usually United Airlines that people credit their miles to. In One World, it's American, and with SkyTeam, it's usually Delta Airlines. So let me give you an experience that I had last year. I went to New Zealand, and I flew on Air New Zealand, which is a wonderful experience, but I credited miles to United Airlines because Air New Zealand and United are both Star Alliance. And what Frederick touched on is that it's a very good idea to do this because it prevents you from having what's called orphan miles. And orphan miles are numbers like 500 miles in this account and 700 miles in this account. And I know before Frederick and I started talking about this concept, he had gone to Iceland a couple of years ago, and he has a couple of thousand miles in his Iceland Air account. And so those are considered orphan miles. So it's a really great idea to familiarize yourself with the alliances and then choose an airline in that alliance to credit your miles to. Does that make sense, Frederick?
Yes, and also I think the advantage of the alliances is if you achieve elite status in one airline of the alliance, you get, like, for example, with Star Alliance, you get the gold status in all of Star Alliance, which gives you, like, faster check-in and all of that stuff, you know, and any of the flights you would have in any of the airlines as part of the alliance.
Yes, and often when you go into the airports, you'll see a lounge, and it's not necessarily called the American Airline Lounge, for instance. It's the One World Lounge. So it would allow, if you're flying on American or British Air, any of the airlines within that alliance, those people can use that lounge.
Okay, so next step number 9 is about booking your own awards on, for example, United, Delta, American, Hawaiian, British Airlines. So we're gonna have a little summary of that, you know, but it's a similar process for each airline. So let's go into it, Shelley.
Sure. You want to become familiar with all the airline websites. So you know the very, very first step was to sign up for frequent flyer accounts for all the airlines. And then, you know, we've already talked about United. We've talked about their mileage calculator. We've talked about where you could go to see how to earn more miles. And even if it's just a dummy award ticket, it's a really great idea to go to united.com and to Delta if you're in a Delta hub, or to AA.com for American, Hawaiian Air. It's good to know how to book award tickets on, and British Airways in North America is a good website. And familiarize yourself, take yourself through the booking process. You will find on every website when you start to book a ticket, it will ask you if you're going to pay cash, it will ask you if you're going to redeem an award, and you learn, just become familiar with how to book an award ticket. And a little bit of practice will go a long way when it actually comes time for you to redeem your own award tickets.
So again, in the bonus section, just check out the cheat sheets or the videos, and we'll have something about that.
Yeah.
Now, that leads us to step number 10 about Priceline, Shelley.
Priceline is a great website. Probably people are familiar with whether they've used it or not. And I think the best use of Priceline, even though it has a few different uses, but I think the best use of Priceline is for hotels. You get big savings if you're going to pay cash for hotels. You book through Priceline, you do get savings. People report often 60% off of published hotel prices. it's important to understand how to use Priceline in general. You pick a city, and then you pick a zone within that city, and then you have to select stars. So there is a certain way to use Priceline that makes it easiest, and we're going to include a tutorial on that. It's a lot of it, and so it makes more sense rather than going through it on the phone right now. Rather than going through it on the in this module, that we include a separate teaching on that. But the one thing I do want people to remember is that if you book through Priceline, you do not receive hotel points. So just a little something to keep in mind. They're a booking service, and you don't receive hotel points. So, for instance, if you went to, let's say, Hilton's website, and you booked a Hilton, paid cash, and booked a Hilton on that website, you would get points for that. So it's one of those things that you want to weigh out. Is Priceline a better deal? Is using your points and miles a better deal? Or is going to the hotels, their websites directly, a better deal? So those are the three things you want to look at. And very, very handy to know how to use Priceline. Have you ever used Hotel Fred?
Yeah, I've used it back when I was spending more time in the U.S. But right now I use mostly hotels.com, so which is actually Expedia. And what I do is I compare hotels.com prices to going, you know, through the hotels directly. And if there's not a big difference, then I'll go through the hotels, and because I want to get the points. But
sure.
Hotels.com gives you a lot of, you know, instant deals, last-minute deals, or if you're really sure you're going to stay somewhere, they have, like, these deals where you cannot cancel, so they give you an even better price. And the 10th night is free. So I think after 10 nights, you get one night for free, which is like an average of all you've spent. You know, so if your average was $200 a night, then you would get a $200 a night room for free. So, I like that as a bonus myself.
Yeah, I've been very impressed. You're very, very fluent with hotels.com. And that's another great website to use. Again, checking those prices off of other potential prices and ability to earn hotel points, but you definitely are very fluent with hotels.com.
Well, what I found out is that they're a portal, right? So they have an iPhone app, for example, and if you use the iPhone app for hotels, they have actually mobile discounts, you know, that are only for iPhone apps, which
wow.
are often pretty substantial. So I will often like get on my iPhone and compare it to the website, and they're sometimes different deals. But, you know, again, it's not always worth it. I'll give you an example of a trip where I had to get a few hotel nights in Vancouver, B.C. So what I did is I was going to book through hotels.com, but then Best Western had a deal with Air Canada where they would give you 8 times the points. So that's quite substantial difference. So I booked through Best Western directly to get these points, and I think that was totally worth it, even though the room was like, you know, $5 or $10 more than through hotels.com.
Yes, you've gotten great prices using hotels.com. I've been very impressed with, you know, people think, here's maybe the way people think, and I think it's a myth. People think when you use Priceline or you use hotel.com, the hotels.com, you get the worst hotels in the worst neighborhoods at cheap prices. And that's a myth. That's not the case. I know people who travel to Hawaii and use Priceline and get great deals. I know some of the deals that you've gotten in world-class cities like Vancouver, what great deals. And after you started using that Best Western, I started telling a couple of friends about it because they were traveling for business, and they have Aeroplan even here in the States, and I told them to look at that deal, and quite a few of them, it's expired, so it was a deal from a couple of months ago. I told them to look at that deal, and they sure enough, they stayed at Best Western and got Aeroplan points. So you've really become really very, very good at deciding which way to go with hotels and points, cash, and all that. So, that's been really great.
Yes, thank you. I'm not as good with airlines yet. I'm not as fluent in, you know, all different alliances and best ways to get deals and so on. But I'm getting there little by little. So this brings
we have a few more steps to talk about, but this is a little by little journey. This is it's a very exciting hobby, and these skills are very exciting to acquire. I think they are, and I know Frederick thinks it's very exciting to increase your travel skill set, but it is a little by little journey, and the more you learn, the easier it gets. The more you learn, the more excited you get. So we're going to talk about one of Frederick's most exciting topics, which is how to use business credit cards.
Yeah, so, all right, do you want me to go with that, Shelley?
Well, let me say a few things, and I'm going to let you go, okay? Because this if you have a business, using business credit cards to build up your miles and points is a great idea. And I have a business, Frederick has a business, and many of the mile-earning credit cards have business versions as well. So you might find a SPG card or a Chase card, and they have a personal version and they have a business version. And when you shift all of your business spending to your business cards, you can accumulate miles at an almost astounding rate. So when we talk about applications, if you're going to apply for more than one credit card on the same day, you would apply for those business cards on the same day you apply for personal cards. One thing I can tell people is that you have a separate credit report for your business cards. So even though you're applying and your credit score is going to get pulled from your personal credit score, you will establish a separate credit report for your business card. That's often a question that people ask. And the other thing to remember is that many of the business cards function as charge cards, so that means they need to be paid off full in each month. You cannot pay off, and they don't charge you interest over time. So just remember that there are certain business cards that need to be paid off in full every month. So, Frederick, why don't you talk about how you avoid paying your vendors with cash and how you shifted your spending onto your business cards?
Well, that's a good question, because that's kind of the main thing that I did to get more points is I have a business, but through the business, it's an online business, so a lot of people want to be paid with PayPal and so on. So I ask myself, what if I could pay everybody, almost everybody, through business cards? So the two cards that I have for business, actually I have three business cards at the moment, but two of them are not technically business cards, but I use them for business purposes. So my accountant just sets them up as a business account, and it's kind of, it's pretty simple to do that. But initially I had a basic business travel card with TD in Canada that earned points. So that's where I said that I was getting $1,500 to $2,000 a month. Free travel, that's where it came from. In the sales page, if you if you read the sales page closely for this product, I said that I used to get at least that amount. So that's where it came from all the spending on that card. But then I realized, because I have expenses in U.S. dollars and Canadian dollars, I should separate them. So I figured out how to get a U.S. based, not just U.S. dollar, but in U.S. American Express SPG card. And then I have an American Express business and personal card in Canada. So the business one is really good because the first year was free and they gave you 25,000 points as a bonus. And the SPG also had a bonus and so on. So what I've done is, first, obviously, everything that's a business expense is going to be put on that I would normally put on a credit card. But where I really shifted was paying some of my vendors. So some of my vendors would be paid by PayPal. So I'll give you an example. One of my vendors is actually my customer service rep. So I pay them. It's a part-time job, so they send me a bill every month, and I pay them. But it used to be always by PayPal, so PayPal doesn't give you any benefits. So what I ask them to do is to set up an Amazon payments account through an account that I have in the U.S. And then what happens is that I can send $1,000 a month through that transaction. That's the maximum transaction you can have using a credit card without backing it up from your bank account. So that's 1,000 points every month that I – and the rest I do have to pay it by PayPal because that's above the amount. My other vendor is my virtual assistant. So the way we've now set it up is that she has a PayPal account and she's created like a donate button. So every month I can enter the amount that I owe her in a donate button and use my credit card to pay for that. So that's already like 1,500 points every month or something just going there. And then I have some big affiliates. And this is where kind of it gets a little crazy. But one of my affiliates, I sometimes pay up to $10,000 a month in you know, in commissions. Those months are pretty rare, but it happened. So what I asked them is, you know, could you charge a credit card instead of me sending you PayPal? And for them, the fee is about the same, so it doesn't matter. So now what I'm doing with that person is that they're charging a card, my card, every month for the affiliate commission that I owe them. So that's another thousands of points over the year that I'll get that way. And let's see, there's, you know, every single possible vendor on the that I use, like I don't use PayPal for them anymore. So I used to pay a lot of these people by PayPal because it was easy. So I switched all of them to credit cards. And then another thing that I did is I'm actually trying to buy products to sell, and it's almost for the purpose of making points. For example, I sell a product called Toot Soap, and it's a fairly popular product, but there's not a big profit margin on it. But a lot of people sell it at a price that allows them to make some money on it. So what I decided to do is I'm selling it occasionally on sale at a price that's much lower than everybody else. So I'm not making that much money on every sale. I'm actually making like $2 or something on every sale. But I've set up a little upsell in the process. So if people buy it, they get offered something else, and I'm more likely to make money on that than the initial product. But the advantage, again, is that I get to spend, you know, thousands of dollars to buy these products on a credit card, and again, that's thousands of points. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of crazy in a sense, but I wouldn't do it for everything, but for this, actually everybody is a winner in there because the customers get a much cheaper product, and I get the points that I want, and the company gets to sell products. The only losers are my competitors. And and then the other ways would be just a lot of people only sell digital products on the internet. So I always offer a physical version of a lot of the things that I do. And I price it at a price that's attractive. So a lot of people choose that physical version. And then, well, I get, you know, to pay for, first of all, for the product to have it printed and then have it shipped, and I charge for shipping. So all of that is going on a credit card, and that's a lot of points. That's in a year, that's, you know, we're talking over 50,000, maybe 100,000 points that I will get through that I, so that's very important. And a lot of people would just think, oh, let's just have everything digital. But I also think that it's good to get a product in the hands of your customers. So if you're selling something online, you don't have a physical version as well, and don't price it much higher necessarily than the digital version. And so you have the advantage of your customers having a product. So, you know, it's free publicity for you, and they're less likely to return it, and they're more likely to tell others about it. And also have digital products, of course. And then I switched, for example, to using a lot of vendors. Let's say I need graphic design and so on. Instead of using local people, I will hire companies, a lot of them overseas, but it doesn't matter to me. They could be in the U.S. or Canada, as long as I get to pay with a credit card. So there's a few of them that, yes, there's a few of them that I really love, and I really love working with them anyway. But they have this system where I can pay with a credit card on the internet, so I do that. So I'm going to get a lot of points, but most of them are SPG points, so I'll get a lot of hotel points that way. and maybe not as many airline points, but I'll get some. So I'm focusing most of my business spending on the hotel points and then the personal spending on the airline points.
Mm-hmm. That I don't use the word amazing very often, and that's amazing. You have put your thinking cap on in amazingly creative ways. I think we would all agree, everybody listening to this would agree, that Frederick put his thinking cap on, because what he did is not only become a creative consumer, so he's a consumer. So let's separate Frederick as a consumer apart from Frederick as a businessman. Frederick is a consumer. He shops online for personal items. He goes into stores. He buys airline tickets. And so now he has shifted his spending to as creatively as possible, becoming a consumer who is now targeting his spending to maximize his earnings of points and miles. Now there's Frederick the businessman, who, after shifting all of his consumer spending and understanding how to be a great consumer in terms of accumulating points and miles, he then went looking for business ways to do this. And so everybody, when you hear all the things that Frederick has done, incredibly creative, and not to take benefit away from anybody else, but all of these points and miles, he was leaving on the table with the way he was paying vendors, and the way he was paying not only vendors, but the people that work for him. So now he's thought of very creative ways to shift all of that, and has certain credit cards that he's using for the Frederick consumer kind of spending, and then lots of creative ways and credit cards that he's using for Frederick, the business owner who has to pay. So not only the consuming end of it, but the paying to keep his business going. And so that whole scenario is, you know, A++++.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Shelley. And I have to say, I didn't do it overnight. It's like, and there's still some, you know, some areas where I still have to pay, like, write a check, and I haven't figured out how to pay these people, you know, through a credit card. But another thing I want to add is one key distinction is to get hotel points and airline miles. That's one thing I definitely got from you, Shelley, is that before I would get these generic TD points that, you know, you can transfer, and I realize that's not as good, because I want the awesome experiences that can only come with points, where I can have like a business class ticket and so on. So, and also I had like a PayPal debit card that gave me 1.5% cash back. So over the course of a year, I would get hundreds of and maybe thousands of dollars back. You know, over the course of several years, I got the thousands of dollars back in cash in my account. But the problem with that is that cash is considered income. So I'm being taxed on it, you know, as income, and my accountant takes it into account as like a bonus or something. So I don't want that, you know. I want the points, and then I get to spend them, and it's obviously it's tax free because it's just points. So you know, you don't get taxed on points you get. So I shifted a lot of the spending that I had on this PayPal debit card into a credit card. So that was the first step. But then I asked myself, you know, there's still some people that I have to pay cash, you know, to pay you know, either through PayPal and so on. Like a lot of my affiliates, I'm not going to ask them to take credit cards because, you know, they're not even set up for that. But I did ask the bigger ones that already had pretty big businesses. And there's a few things I still haven't figured out, Shelley. I mean, some people, you know, take checks, and I hate writing them, but I have to do that, you know.
Sure. And when our listeners hear you and I, Frederick, and we're talking about some of the advanced techniques or higher level things that we do, I want everybody to understand that we started from step one. We started by making sure that all our the airlines, we have frequent flyer numbers with all the airlines. We started by picking some goals. We started by understanding all the concepts and all the language that we use when we talk about all of this. And everybody starts at some point. point. So everybody's already at a certain level of using credit cards. But everybody, you go through the steps and you keep increasing your knowledge and you keep increasing your creativity and thinking about these things and talking to other people about them. I mean, you should see when Frederick and I are together. It's like, I'll pay for dinner. I want the points. No, I'll pay for dinner. I want the points. And we sit there arm wrestling in the restaurant for who's going to use the credit card to pay for the points because we're both working on accumulating and reaching some of our goals. So, you know, everybody starts exactly the way we started, and we may sound like big, sophisticated collectors of miles and points, but we're still learning every day, and we're working with these techniques and better understanding the system, don't you think?
Oh, yes, and I have to say also to add to this that, you know, even if I didn't have the business, I would still accumulate a lot of points, and also I'm a Canadian citizen, so if you're in the U.S., as a person, you'll have like way more sign-up bonuses and so on than me, you know. So my advantage, like we said in the beginning of the first audio presentation, is my advantage is I have a business. But even without the business, I would still get a lot of all the airline points, you know, I get through my personal spending. So that's important to say. It's, even if you don't have a business. But I would say you might want to consider having some kind of business because it could be just, you know, you're selling a few things on the internet or you're, you know, you'll find a way to make some extra income. And I mean, that will come handy.
So here's Frederick talking about in Canada not having the opportunities for some of the mileage point bonus credit cards that he can get and then do the spending to unlock those bonuses. Even if you don't use that part of the system, even if you don't apply for credit cards and don't use sign-up bonuses and your monthly spending, just targeting the spending you already do, getting a mileage accruable credit card and targeting your spending, shifting your spending onto that credit card, shifting your grocery spending, your gas spending, any of the spending that's monthly cable or internet service, whatever regular payments go out every month and understanding what your monthly spend is, you will still accumulate plenty of airline miles, plenty of hotel points. That the getting the credit cards and the getting the sign-up bonuses is one way, but it's not the only way at all. There are always going to be times when you'll need to pay cash. You have a favorite store that they just don't take credit cards. Yet the prices are good. You want to support the people who own the store, and that's where you want to shop. You don't need to go overboard with this kind of. You don't need to only use credit cards, no matter what. Be prepared to pay cash. Frederick mentioned earlier that it's amazing how little cash he actually carries now compared to how much he used to. But there's always going to be times that cash is a choice, and it's a good choice because you like what the store has to offer or you like what the restaurant has to offer. This is about having fun. It's not about turning yourself into a neurotic miles and points person. Again, it's totally customizable. It's a fun, exciting way to get yourself some travel and some exciting lifetime experiences that you thought you couldn't afford. So these are shortcuts to being able to afford some dream vacations and some exciting world-class experiences. But always there's going to be times when you pay cash. And I know Frederick has some times when he pays cash, and I certainly do too.
And it's I must say it's pretty rare. I mean, there's this amazing store in Montreal that sells produce, and they only take cash, of course. But the prices are so incredible and so low that, you know, I can't help myself but going there. And it's still a better deal. But I mean, I have a hard time spending more than $30 there because everything is so cheap. So overall, I mean, even if they took credit cards, it wouldn't be, like, much of a difference overall. But the you know, for most of my spending is on credit cards, so I keep maybe like $40 in my wallet at all times, and I will go a long time without having to use it. So that's a big difference. And also because I use Mint, I mean, I really recommend everybody uses Mint. And I know some people are afraid of the security and so on, but you can read more about it. It's more secure than your own bank website. And Mint is incredible because when you pay everything like this, you can tell where your money is going. And I have a hard time when someone doesn't know how much they're spending on groceries every month. Like, I know, like, down to the penny, and I don't spend a lot of time tracking it because it's all done automatically. So that's another huge advantage, I think, of using the system, is you know where your money is going.
That's a good point, Frederick, because I think when a lot of people hear about accumulating miles and points, maybe they think, oh, another thing to keep track of. You know, I'm already overwhelmed with my banking, and I'm already overwhelmed with tracking other things. Now I have to track another thing. And we've done our best, and we will continue to do, to provide any resource that makes this easier. We talked about Award Wallet. We talked about Mint. We talked about using apps for the iPhone and for the Android that will make all of this easy. And so once you get everything set up, it doesn't require much effort at all. And the rewards, the trips, the vacations, the being able to see some places you never thought you could see at prices that are incredible because they're free, it really is worth a little bit of tracking that you think you'll have to do. But I understand that people might think this is a lot of tracking. And Frederick and I more naturally enjoy the tracking process, and we enjoy knowing where we're spending our money, and we're both very conscientious when it comes to that. But once you use some of the tools that we're giving you, it's going to make it much, much easier, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think most of that tracking is in the learning curve at first. You know, when you first get started, when I first really started to understand how this worked, I mean, I would check my accounts every day, and I would like try to understand like what the promotions were and so on. But I think at some point, I mean, this is something you can just spend a few minutes like every Sunday just to, you know, like we talked about, going through your emails and seeing what are the promotions, and also just as an automated reaction, is every time you're about to spend some money, like you're planning a purchase, maybe delay that purchase a little bit and think of ways you could earn extra points. You know, maybe Costco has a deal where you get 1 point per dollar spent. You know, if you're thinking of buying like an appliance, a small or big appliance, like, and you were thinking about buying it at Costco, well, why not, you know, wait a little bit and see what promotions come up? You know, so that's another good habit anyway to have. I mean, it's a good habit to wait before buying anything because, you know, you might see a better deal. So that's something that will become more innate in you, is to think of, okay, you know, I'm about to spend some money, but I could get more points. Maybe there's some promotions. Maybe I can do a little bit of research before I do that.
Yes, and Ever Reward is a great site for that. This is not about spending extra money to get points and miles. This is about the very first big idea. It's about shifting money you're already spending, so that that's why we talked about that so early on, is really getting a handle on what your monthly spend is, so that you're shifting spending, not spending more, and not spending because you're, you know, you have a credit card and you've got this high spending limit. It's always about shifting what you're already spending and spending with an awareness as to where you can maximize the points and miles. I would say that's the big picture, is shifting the spending you're already doing, and then once you get that mindset going, looking to where you can maximize miles and points for that spending. I think that's the big picture here.
Wow, so we've covered a lot of information, Shelley, in the advanced techniques, and I'm sure everybody will get something out of it, and of course we'll have extra material to help you go through the material in the download section, so make sure you go back to this. But I would say it's all about taking the first steps, and don't think you're going to master everything at once, but you'll go back to this audio presentation maybe a couple months from now, and you'll pick up new ideas that you can implement. So it's an incremental process, and I think you're going to do just great with this program, and make sure to keep us posted on your results. So thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Shelley, for sharing your knowledge. This has been amazing for me to understand this concept, and I hope it's going to be as exciting for other people to learn it as well.
Oh, you're welcome, Frederick. I can't wait to hear about all the fun that people have and all the wonderful trips and vacations that they take with their friends and their family once they start learning all these things. So thank you very much for this whole presentation. It's been a lot of fun.